happy being alive day, especially if you recently jumped out of a plane on a secret mission from your parents, leaving your brother to only know your secret and hope to the good Lord that you got home in one piece, and then you did. Happy being alive day to you in particular. On this Wednesday, it's hour two of the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app, all our great affiliates, SiriusXM 158. But yes, sadly, the no stream week continues. It's not just DA and Pete that are off, but there is no Andrew Kaplan this week as well. Greg Caserta just asked me for the calendar update. So I'll remind all of you that as of Monday, the four currently fully employed members of the show will all be here Monday through Thursday of next week. DA, myself, Pete, and Kaplan. DA's got one more summer Friday next week. And then shocking to me, that following Monday is Labor Day. So none of us will be here. And then that Tuesday shows up and we should all be here. And I don't think we'll have a new member by then, but at one point, that was the target date. That now seems too close to happen. And then we lose Bilotti for weeks because Bilotti's going on paternity leave again. Because we're just rapid fire having babies and taking time off. So enjoy us all together as a group while you can. But as crazy as August has been, September won't match that. But we're going to be a little all over the place again. Because why would it be simple? Why would it be consistent? For the rest of this week, though, it's me and Kevin Wall. Botcher for now, Caserta today, Schwartz tomorrow, Caserta Friday. Mayhem continues here in August on the DA Show. But as always, we are happy that you are with us, and we hope that you are at least half enjoying this kind of four-hour spring training staff game here for you. Before we are done this morning, we will continue Sounds of Saturday. Jeff Colhane, the voice of FSU football, will join us. Tomorrow, USC's Pete Arbogast will be on the show. We've got to check on the Buffalo Bills later this morning. They have had an interesting offseason, to say the least, after another early, for them, playoff exit. Some off-field issues, some on-field concerns, some coaching changes, and now through two preseason games and a good chunk of training camp, there are issues on the offensive line, there's issue at linebacker, there's issues in the secondary, and it's got me a little worried about the Bills atop the AFC East and inside the conference altogether. We are also again this morning debuting a new segment. It may be a one-timer. It's called They're Listening, and it involves myself and Pete Bilotti and those that are listening. That's coming up next hour as well. Later this hour, we've got a champ, we've got a chump, and we've got Justin Tucker, Ravens kicker, rapping about fried chicken from a convenience store in Baltimore. Yes, that's a true sentence. You will hear the audio confirmation of it coming up here shortly. But we begin this hour on the PGA Tour. And where, oh, where has Pete been? Could it be that Pete the Body Bilotti, who is not, I repeat, not a compulsive gambler, despite mounting evidence to the contrary of parlays and home run picks and 75 cents here and $1.25 there, he's not a compulsive gambler. But would a non-compulsive gambler have gone to the BMW Championship, the second, the middle event of the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup postseason, this past weekend, I believe in Chicago, the Chicago area? And would he have stood along the ropes and maybe good-naturedly, maybe not, just made it be known loudly enough what he was wagering on said hole? We've had a couple of conversations recently about just how dangerous things are going to get as sports and the betting industry just get further and further into their love affair. We have, is it still seven? Did I miss more last week? Iowa State and Iowa players who are betting on their games, your games, my games, and using their parents' accounts because they're not young enough, they're not old enough to place those wagers, facing charges, facing NCAA expulsion. We've got a growing list of NFL football players, and there's a couple of guys who are on both of these lists, apparently, who are gambling in the facility illegally, on their team illegally. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. Some of these dangers were foreseen as this began to take shape, some unforeseen. At least for me, what's apparently going on in golf is unforeseen. Now, we also discussed Phil Mickelson recently. Gambling and golf have gone together. That's not new news. Guys bet on holes when they play with your buddies, on tour, whatever. We know that there's money being exchanged by golfers during playing golf. And obviously we knew that people were betting on golf while watching golf professional events. But we've had an influx now apparently of issues for the pro golfers, the PGA Tour golfers, and it's come up a bunch over the weekend. Max Homa talked about it in Chicago. And there's apparently been either people watching golf, the fans on the course, either rooting for a player by saying, hey, I got $20 on this putt for you to make, or apparently Max Homa says a guy yelled as he was putting to shank it, to pull it left, because he wanted to win money on Homa. I don't know what the guy's bet was, if it was just on the putt, if it was on his position, his score, whatever. But now we've got golfers being possibly distracted by people who are right there because they want to win money, either officially through FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, or with the money they're changing hands with their buddies. Now, I'm sure, again, all of those things have already been happening, but there's definitely more people in general gambling now, so it's happening more. It appears to be happening more freely. It appears to be happening more loudly, and, you know, I've yelled things at sporting events, but they're not at golf events, and therefore there's other noise around me, and there's no way when I'm yelling brick when there's somebody at the free throw line late in a basketball game, or there's a pop-up over the infield, and I'm hoping somebody drops it, and I'm yelling drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it, or that's fallen. Those guys aren't hearing me because the entire stadium is making noise. Their teammates are yelling, you got it, I got it, whatever. They don't hear that. But at golf, when everyone's being quiet and Max Homa is starting his pullback on his putt and somebody goes, shank it, that's going to be heard by Max Homa. At least the guys that yell Baba Booey basically wait until contact and that you're used to that. But when a guy is like straight heckling you with money on the line, that's a thing I didn't see coming. And then John Rahm was asked about this yesterday as the tour switches from events. Now they're in the Tour Championship. I think that's in Georgia, the end of their regular season, end of their postseason. He said this happens all the time, that every round and every event, like, he hears betting comments from the gallery. And again, some of them are positive. Some of them are, hey, I got money on you, John. Let's, you know, make me money. And others are just guys, their buddies making a bet on a putt or whatever. But because, again, it's golf, you hear it. Or that straight heckling with people trying to influence the golfer to win the bet they placed with their buddy through FanDuel, whatever. And I don't know what you can do about that. Now, the PGA swears, even if there has been an uptick in any of this, that it's not an overwhelming thing. It's not reaching epidemic levels. But what would be the solution? You're not going to stop gambling. I guess theoretically, I don't even think you could stop me and Botcher standing on the 18th green from betting $5 on who's going to be closest to the pin or who's going to get that. Like, that's, you can do that too. You can't stop me from that.
Maybe you could stop it digitally. Like, there's like blackout areas for gambling some places.
Or you have like go to certain places to put the bet in. But then you can still go back to the hole and be like, I just put, you know, $100 on you to miss the cut. So,
well, at that point, I'm on the side of it's a mental game also. If you can't handle a random person, doesn't even know you, saying that, I think that that's on you.
So I don't fully disagree. I think the problem is in golf, because the other 99 people around you are being quiet, your one loud comment has a bigger effect. You might still, in a basketball game, a football, you know, basketball, you're really sitting close. Baseball, you are too. You might still hear a voice or two cutting through the noise, telling you you suck, you can't throw a strike, miss a free throw. I mean, we've seen NBA players too much in recent memory almost fight people in the stands. So I know that you can be heard, but there's a difference. And we had, what was the Kawhi's daughter screaming during free throws during a playoff
DeRozan,
game? DeRozan's daughter, that's who it was. So, like, I know those things can be heard, but that takes something unique about a voice and the situation that to cut through everything to get to the player. When you're standing on the green and no one's making noise and one dude out of nowhere yells something, it's startling, whatever they're saying. But then if they're saying it on purpose to make you mess up, to make them win money, that is something that has to be addressed. But I don't know what you would do shy of muzzling people to actually prevent.
Put him in a timeout room.
But what if they do it and the guy misses the putt? He can go to his timeout room, but he just won his bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shame on Pete and his friends. I mean, I get it. You want to gamble, it's your $2, that's fine. But there's got to be rules. There's got to be decorum. And going and shaming a guy on the 15th green in Chicago because you want to win your $5 parlay, it's just not a good look. Yeah, and I don't like the way you're behaving right now. You're a leader of men. I don't know if you guys saw Hard Knocks last night. I watched the first, 35, 40 minutes on my ride in this morning on the train. And Robert Sala was going through a presentation of what kind of competitor are you? And I think there were four tiers. The bottom one was survivor, that you just do enough to get by and that's all you care about. You don't try your hardest. You don't necessarily care about fame, money, attention.
Sounds like the Jets for the last 15 years.
You just want to get to the next day, but it's a negative thing because you want to bring people down to that level. You want to bring other people down to coast along with you. Then I can't remember what the next one was. Then there was like competitor, and that's like where you don't care about anything else. It's just winning. And it's in everything. You want to win at Monopoly. You want to win every rep in practice. You want to win the game. You want to win championships. You don't care about having a hot wife, a huge contract, a shoe deal. You just want to win. And then the top one is commander. You have all of those competitor attributes, but the one addition is you bring people with you. You're a leader. You bring people up to join you in those pursuits. That's what Bilotti is. He's a commander. When you're a commander, you can't be messing with other professionals at their place of business because you want to win pocket change on your parlay.
Shame on Pete.
Shame on Pete. Set a better example. Father of two, leader of countless young... I mean, look, I'm looking at Ryan Botcher. We discussed this.
I can't gamble. That's a separate story, but I can't gamble.
For legal reasons?
I don't exist on apps. So
you're off the grid?
I'm off the grid.
That fits. Are you surprised by that, Wall?
No.
Not even a little bit, right?
I know the pay in this business, so you got to keep every dollar you can.
But regardless of whether he has the money to gamble or not, the fact that he's doesn't exist like in the ether, I'm okay.
They told me to go to like the public records in New York, and I was like, it's not worth it. I don't care about gambling enough to do that.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not by choice that you're off the grid. You're off the grid by somebody else's doing.
I don't know. So I try to sign up for the app.
Right.
I give them my like information.
You have a social security number?
Yeah, I have the right number.
Okay.
I've applied to jobs. I'm good. And then it says, I don't exist. We can't verify you. I gave them my license number, everything else, and they still can't do it. And I've tried for 2 years now, and it still doesn't work.
Oh, I thought you didn't want, like you were afraid of, invasion of privacy, company or country like spying on you. You tried and failed and you're turned away.
I've accepted the fact I've been spied on for years.
There's nothing to see here. If you're spying on me, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I physically cannot gamble.
So there's no Ryan Botcher paper trail or not enough of one to get a FanDuel account?
Yes.
What else have you been turned away from because
Clear.
Of this?
You know,
really?
The clear.
Yeah.
I tried to do it like when I was like 18 when you can sign up. I tried to sign up for that. They said, there's not enough public information on you. Try again next year. I tried again next year. Did not work. And it's the same with FanDuel and DraftKings and all that.
Can you imagine fighting with FanDuel or DraftKings and be like, listen, you don't understand. This is my social security number, and I need to make this bet right now.
I do exist.
Yeah, I'm here. I've never heard of this one either.
Don't know.
So you have a social security number.
Yes.
I don't know your religious background. Do you have like a baptismal certificate or something like that?
I hope so.
That's one of the things I have that proves who I am. Somehow.
Driver's license, obviously.
Yeah, I have a passport, driver's license, Social Security. I have all of that.
If you have a passport, I can't believe that anything else is a problem.
I don't want to go to the lengths to emailing FanDuel a picture of my passport. It's not worth it.
Yeah. This is perplexing. I was on board with you choosing not to do this. I wasn't prepared for you to be denied these things. And I would think that for the most part, all these places would take your money. Like, they'd have almost no barricades to letting you become a client. And they won't.
It's a good thing.
That's true. You can bet on anything these days. They'll take whatever bet you want. You can bet on two kids playing wiffle ball in Minnesota right now. They'll take your money.
They already got a line on.
I got you, Timmy. Roger.
I almost want to fix this for you.
No, because I think I called them one day.
Who do you call?
It was like a help number. And I called them.
At like City Hall?
There's like a public records people just to make sure I do exist.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you went to school.
I went to school.
You graduated from high school.
And college.
So you have degrees. I'm guessing you had loans in college. Maybe it doesn't everybody have loans? No. So, I mean, like, you and again, a passport seems to be a hard thing to get.
I didn't give them a passport. I gave them license, Social Security.
Yeah.
Like, they have that.
And they're still like, this is not enough.
They're like, we cannot verify you.
That's weird. Is it like your name is misspelled somewhere? Like the O and the E are flipped on some list and it's
not? Hopefully not. But I can go out of the country, so I'm assuming it's not that bad.
I mean, and Bilotti verified you to employ you both at his other job that no one told him to take and then this one.
Well, that other one, that I could a random person could walk in that one and take over.
You should have Pete write you a letter. Dear FanDuel. This is me personally
as the commander.
Yeah. Pete the Body Bilotti, commander, CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, it's time for Champ and Chump, the good, the bad of the last week in sports. That's next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ. Or Chump.
Our champ this week comes from Sunday afternoon in Oakland. Baltimore facing the A's, and Orioles stud infielder Gunnar Henderson, possibly the AL Rookie of the Year, comes up having already doubled, tripled, and homered. So he needs just a single for the elusive cycle.
1-2 the count. The next pitch. Henderson hits it on the ground. Fair ball and down the right field line. Henderson around first. He's going to keep on going. Rutschman scores. He wanted a single. He got a double and an RBI, and it's now an 11-1 ball game. The only time you don't want to get an extra base hit.
That's Jeff Arnold, who's been behaving himself, so he's allowed to do Orioles games on the radio over the weekend. The TV call included the, of course he didn't stop at first line. The whole dugout is telling him to stop, is chirping him as he's standing on second, and Gunnar Henderson's looking back, kind of shrugging, sheepish grin on his face, because he never for a second thought about stopping at first. The game was out of hand. They didn't need the extra base, which furthers the idea of just stop, take the single, get your cycle. But it's a rip down the right field line, past the first baseman. It's got double written on it the whole way. Had he needed a triple, it would have been a kind of ball where you tried to go for three, maybe gotten thrown out, missed the cycle. But here he is eating just a single. He's got at least that. Doesn't have to go to second, but he goes to second because he's just playing baseball. But he also ends up accomplishing something that is more rare than a cycle. There have been, since 1901, 300 cycles, including the postseason. The game that Gunnar Henderson had on Sunday, if you want to give this a clever name, like a Gunnar cycle or something, only 44 times since 1901 now, somebody had a home run, a triple, and multiple doubles. The last such game was a decade ago. David Wright, our new friend, who was here 2 weeks ago with us, did it for the Mets back in 2013. Gunnar Henderson, for just simply playing baseball, going to get his double, not stopping for history, that doesn't really mean anything. He is my champ this week.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is also from baseball, and it's a whole group of chumps. Bad umpiring is not new. But with all these new systems and grids and computers and whatever, We know how bad these guys now are. And it's no longer just Angel Hernandez. There's CB Buckner. There's Laz Diaz. There's Junior Valentine. It's happening every day, but it feels like since Friday in particular, I've been overwhelmed by the accounts that I follow that track this with atrocious umpiring. Not just missed calls. Every umpire is going to miss calls on the black, on the border, up, down, inside, out. If you're watching at home and the ball is within a ball's width of the strike zone, like that's good. Like that's margin for error for me. We got guys calling pitches shin high, couldn't reach it outside, knocking me off the plate, calling things that were never strikes. There was a play the other day in the Yankees-Red Sox game. I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but there was a pitch that was in the strike zone by multiple inches. The batter put his head down, started to walk away. The pitcher began to walk off the mound. The catcher stood up. It was the final out of the inning to throw to first and leave. And then they all realized that the umpire never called strike. And they all kind of turned and looked. And he goes, it's a ball. And then I think eventually, I might can be confusing at bats, either this situation or another where the missed call then led to a Rafael Devers home run. The amount of bad umpiring at this moment seems to be out of control. Worse than I can remember. And there are too many guys umpiring who we know their names and their faces because they're bad. It's just not good for baseball. And I don't know that they care. I don't know if they want this to build up so we're not going to be angry with robot umpires and review systems and guys, have you seen this in the minor leagues yet? Batters are touching their helmet asking for a check of a pitch. But that's coming and we need it. MLB umpires, and there's too many of them sucking. They're my chump this week.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is the number. At CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. I don't think DA asks for your suggestions for champ or chump. I think it's just his area on these shows. And Wall asked me the other day about Momentous Monday. Now, that is something that Sean and I, mostly Sean, decided that we weren't going to do when DA wasn't here. That was specifically a DA thing because it connects to his good buddy Mo. So if you've been wondering where that's been, that's why we don't do it. It's a conscious decision to leave that one for DA. But obviously, Trash Tuesday, tomorrow's the Thursday, Target Demo Friday, Champ or Chump, they all continue. So whether or not you can suggest one, send us your normal nonsense on social media and whatnot. Later this hour, maybe a new champ, maybe a new chump, depending on how you take this. Justin Tucker, who I love. I have a strange affection for him, much like my ridiculous defense of running backs and weather people. I will always come to the defense of kickers because everybody likes to you-know-what on them until your guy misses a huge kick. And then they are the devil, they're the enemy. So it pays to have a guy who doesn't miss. And nobody has not missed better than Justin Tucker in recent memory, maybe for forever. I'm not kidding. My good buddy Kadri Ismail, who I work with at times during the college football season, of course a Raven great, covers the team now still. We've had more than one conversations about my adoration for Justin Tucker. And I may or may not be disappointed that Kadri has not brought me some kind of Justin Tucker memorabilia by now. But as much as I love the guy, I didn't know what he did on the side when he wasn't kicking tremendously important field goals for the Ravens. But he's a showman. He's a salesman. And he's been pushing coffee and pastries and ready-to-go meals for years in the Baltimore area, showing off all these non-kicking skills. And I was alerted to this only last night. I checked with DA to make sure that's never come up on the show before I was around, because it goes back 5 or 6 years. I don't remember last week, so if we did it 2 years ago, I wouldn't remember it. And he said it's new to him, too. So it's new to him. It's new to me. It might be new to you. We'll do that in a second. But here comes, again, the TV star, the asset, and soon to be my guest on side B of the PGP, which you'll get later today. But for right now, he's got your headlines. Here's Greg Caserta.
So I'm conflicted about this.
Please.
I was told by my my inner circle that I should retire the asset moniker.
Really?
Yeah. That I'm too big for it. That the asset is beneath me. And that it's...
You've gone past asset.
Yeah, because it's just a childish, immature thing.
This is a tough one.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it because it came from a really good place. It came from two people that I trust immensely. But I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like it was very short-lived, and I don't think I'm ready to see it go away yet.
I mean, maybe I'm misreading the way you are handling it, but I always took it as a fun,
yeah,
tongue-in-cheek thing,
right,
which means it could be never-ending.
Right.
Like, if you really deep down, like, believe, like, yeah, man, I'm the bleeping asset.
No. I don't believe
maybe
that.
You need
I
to walk back
I don't believe
a little
that
bit.
At all. I don't believe that at all. It's not like I'm now living the character.
Right.
Like it's
not
one of those.
Call me asset.
He has
right.
a shirt, though.
He does have a shirt, but the shirt's funny.
I mean,
well,
yeah,
you have two shirts, actually.
I have two shirts, yeah. I'll probably wear one Friday. But here's the thing. It's irrelevant without the video stream. If I don't, it's just...
No one knows.
It's any other shirt.
Yeah, I had Boyle's shirt off on Monday because there's no stream.
That's why I'm wearing my DJ LeMayu. I can just get yeah. away with it now.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, you call me the asset. Billy Giacalone's the one who really pushed for this whole thing, so he still calls me that. And obviously, I'm regarded that way by important people.
Right.
In the business. So.
And you are an asset.
And I'm an asset. I've been told that by more than one person. So
I just call you Greg.
Yeah, because you've never viewed me as an asset.
Just Greg.
Just another guy.
And so, it's hard to argue against Billy Giacalone. I mean,
of all people,
I'm assuming, right, I'm assuming your wife is one of the people who have said maybe we should get away from the asset, maybe a parent, a sibling, a
right.
good friend.
Could be one of, or both of those, yeah.
Right, voices that you would normally trust.
100%.
Do you trust them over Billy Giacalone?
I don't think I do, no. No, when it comes to matters of the radio station, if there's a guy
right.
that I would trust, he'd be in my inner circle. He's one of my, if not my closest friends here.
This is like picking between your children.
Yeah.
Do I trust my significant other,
sure.
my parent, or my Billy Giacalone?
Yeah.
Billy Giacalone, all the way.
Billy could be a star on this show, and he chooses not to be. He just loves being a peripheral guy in the background.
Correct.
So, like, he's great. So, like, when he says, oh, look who's here, it's the asset. There's got to be something to that. I don't know.
I mean, there are people here who, again, showed up in tuxedos to interview for Sean's job, were bringing in PowerPoints, were calling in references, making phone calls. You know, can you put in a good word for me, this or that? People who already have good jobs here are like, I want to have that job. And Bill is like, I'm good.
I'm chilling.
I'm fine.
He's got his gallon of water. He goes to Dunkin' around this time and
right.
then does his minutes and sayonara.
I said to him today, because he's one of those guys that never really put weight on over the last 5 years. Like,
true.
He's one of the few guys.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, I've been working with him for over 5 years. I've seen him eat one sandwich in that entire time. He doesn't eat. He's one of those guys.
You know what? That's a good point. And he was a big proponent for a long time of Donut Fridays. But now that I think of it, I don't know that he ever actually...
Nope.
Went and got one.
He drinks protein shakes.
And used to smoke cigs.
Yeah. Used to love ripping cigs.
Yeah. But that stopped.
Right.
And sometimes when that stops, that's when the weight goes up.
You put the weight on. No, he's lost weight.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when you quit drinking, apparently. Your craving for sugar skyrockets.
Really?
Because that's what you're missing.
Sugar.
He's an amazing person. I can maybe hear where your people are coming from, but they're not Billy.
They're not Billy. Nobody's Billy.
Is Billy even out there to listen to this right now, or is he maybe on one of his sabbaticals?
He's definitely out there.
Okay.
I don't know if the speaker's on in the newsroom, though.
Oh, that's a good point. It shouldn't be.
By the way, I don't know if you listened to Friday's show.
I did not. I'm sorry.
I didn't think you would. Pete Pilotti did. He texted me a couple times.
Always
naturally.
Listening.
There were points where Botcher and Carlos were legitimately concerned.
It was more me.
No, no, not about my personal life.
Oh, that was something else.
He was concerned about my personal life because I brought up an argument that I had with Aaron on the air. So I made for good fodder, but he was looking at me like, yo, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. They were concerned that I didn't talk enough sports.
No.
Yeah, they kept saying sports, and I didn't talk enough sports for their liking.
I don't think this show has ever hit the correct breakdown of sports versus other things.
It was the perfect Friday show. Like these few times now where I get a chance to sit in that chair and host, I think Friday is the perfect day for me.
It's the perfect day for anyone that's not DA.
Yeah.
Like I actually, as much as I love hanging out for these 4 hours and leaving at 10:01 or 9:58, 5 straight days is a lot. Give me every Friday is fine, or every
Friday's
summer
nice.
Friday. You show up, you sit down, you have the whole week to work off of, a guest or two, and all of a sudden it's your weekend.
Yeah, I get why he would take off on Fridays.
Yeah.
But I also get why one of us schlubs would sit in that chair and go, this is great.
Correct.
Just that one day in and out.
Yeah. It's like having a day off, too.
Yeah.
I love it. But I
You're still thinking about this.
You know what? We need a poll question. Is this the poll question?
Oh. Does he keep the nickname?
Do we keep or retire the asset for Greg Caserta? It'll be up momentarily at CBS Sports Radio. Now, I will say this. I don't think that this vote has to be binding unless you want it to be.
No, not at all.
Okay. So this is more of a suggestion than anything else.
Nothing I say on this show is binding. I think that's why I enjoy it so much.
That's the disclaimer that's played as the show starts. Nothing means anything.
I think that's why I love this job so much.
Because nobody listens and cares?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. Carlos mentioned something at some point Friday. He's like, you know, and if the bosses are listening, and I just went,
that's a good heat check.
If the bosses are listening, come on. Funny guy, you.
The only way to tell when a boss is listening is when I'm sitting in the newsroom and I can hear David Marinick, who has as unique a laugh as anybody.
Oh, it's wild.
And he is completely down the hallway. I mean, I don't know. I'm bad at this. Is that 150 feet away where his office from the newsroom?
I would say so.
Right?
That's a good guess.
And when he laughs at something, I can hear it like he's sitting next
to me. He's a hyena.
That's how I know he's listening. If there's silence, the fan's on down there.
Hey, this side could be on fire. Somebody walks by. It's a little hot in here.
What's that?
What is that?
Oh, that's the CBS Sports Network studios. That's where Time to Shine comes from. That's my favorite thing still. We're on year 11, and when Sales gives people tours, they tell us that this studio is CBS Sports Network. Not CBS Sports Radio.
Still,
CBS Sports Network. Which is a thing. It's not just the wrong title.
It's not even the right medium.
It's a thing that's not us that exists somewhere else on a different medium. But thank God for those progressive reads. Speaking of which, here's headlines.
Well, bogus, as Saul Rosenberg of the Jerky Boys famously said, I'll sue everybody. Punitive damages here. To college football we go, and Reggie Bush is fighting back against the mighty NCAA. He is planning to file a defamation lawsuit today against the infamous governing body of college athletics. Quote, this lawsuit is based on the NCAA maliciously attacking his character. They're a completely false and highly offensive statement that was widely reported in the media and substantially and irreparably damaged his reputation. That's according to Bush's attorneys, law firm McCathern PLLC. Although college athletes can now receive benefits from their names, images, and likenesses through activities like endorsements and appearances, NCAA rules still do not permit pay-for-play type arrangements. This was the NCAA spokesperson in that statement that is now under question. The NCAA infractions process exists to promote fairness in college sports. The rules that govern fair play are voted on, agreed to, and expected to be upheld by all NCAA member schools.
Clearly, none of us are lawyers,
yep.
So I don't understand all of this,
yep.
But I don't understand Reggie Bush's argument over and over again, whether it's in a courtroom or just in a microphone. It doesn't matter what the rules are now. The rules then were the rules, and you broke them.
Yes.
I don't understand if the rules change, and some of them were dumb, but like, did he got a house for playing? Like,
dude,
right? I mean, what am I missing?
So he's going to speak at a news conference at the LA Memorial Coliseum this morning. So we'll see if we get that, although he's not going to be speaking at 7 a.m.
No, that'll be tomorrow's cold open.
There you go. So this goes back to having his 2005 Heisman Trophy reinstated. He forfeited the trophy in 2010 after a four-year extra benefits investigation determined that he and family members, while he was at USC, accepted cash, travel expenses, and a home in the San Diego area where his parents lived rent-free for more than a year, and they were also given $10,000 to furnish.
Right, which is still not allowed. It was definitely not allowed back then. I don't understand he wants here.
I mean, I do think he should have his Heisman Trophy back.
Right, so like, and that's the thing I think part of my frustration, too. He has, like, in reality, all the things he wants.
Sure.
Like, we all think the punishment, like, vacating wins, and we saw him be amazing.
Right.
He can, like, he, in my mind, Heisman winner. I get it. Like, I don't, yeah. I didn't take those things away from
Never.
Him. So, he almost has what he wants, and he's still fighting for it on really crappy ground.
It's almost like it's almost like he's looking for, he's not, obviously, but it's almost like, in a weird way, he's looking for financial compensation. Like, these guys now are making money. Right. I had to do it sneakily and under the table. I want money on the up and up. It's like this. It's a very strange thing.
And he works, right? I mean, he's not hurting for money. No. He's on TV.
He was. He might have been cut by.
He's not on the FS1 thing anymore.
I don't think so.
But like, it's not like he's destitute and he's grasping at every last straw to find money. Like he's Reggie Bush still.
Yeah.
I also think he's married to a woman who looks a lot like Kim Kardashian.
Really?
Which is not a coincidence.
Let me pull this up. He has a type, huh? We'll get to her later. She's really not that important. what do you do? I'm married to Reggie Bush. Cool. Anything else you're good at? Nope. Elsewhere in what used to be the Pac-12.
Grilled cheeses. I can make a grilled cheese.
Washington running back Cam Davis is done for the season. He suffered a lower body injury during camp. The sophomore was expected to be the feature back this season for the 10th-ranked Huskies after scoring 13 touchdowns as a freshman last season. And finally, NBA, the Players Association, will file a grievance disputing the $100,000 fine for James Harden over his comments after the Sixers failed to trade him. This was all in response to Damian Lillard's trade request from the Trailblazers. The NBA sent a memo to all 30 teams last month that any player or his agent who makes public or private comments indicating he won't fully perform the services called for under his player contract in the event of a trade will be subject to discipline moving forward. Here's some of what Harden said.
I've been patient all summer, so for me, it's just focus on what I can control, and that's working out, staying in shape, and getting ready for a good season.
Too late to repair the relationship?
I think so.
So the memo goes out. I don't understand why I'm being fined $100,000. Of course, the only team hardware in Harden's collection, two gold medals with the U.S. men's basketball team. The one Olympic medal came in the 2012 London Games. Just a team guy and really selfless, so I really wish him the best.
Really pulling for him.
Yeah.
Get him his freedom.
Yeah, best of luck.
Doing him dirty. Again, another team. Shame on them. Go, James. All right, without further ado, a commercial break, and then without further ado, it's Justin Tucker doing ridiculous things on Baltimore TV next on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, hey, everybody. Final few minutes, hour two of this Wednesday edition of the DA Show. Ryan Botcher was here. Then I showed up. Kevin Wall just returned. That commercial break went fast, but that's good because you need to hear this audio. Now, Brian Edwards, loyal listener, good buddy of the show, sent me a message on Instagram last night. Watching the Orioles game, this commercial popped up. There's a ton of them you guys need to discuss. Royal Farms is a relatively regional convenience store chain in and around the Baltimore area. So Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has a long-standing relationship as a commercial actor for Royal Farms. There's a lot of them. Some of them are kind of just straight performances where Justin's introducing you to their new coffee machines or telling you about the new items in the to-go case or whatever. There's a little acting in some, and it's very little acting from Tucker. This one, though, this is everything. And this one is old. This is 5 or 6 years old, so maybe you've heard it. I hope you have not. It's new to me. It's new to the show. It's amazing. This is Ravens all-world kicker Justin Tucker rapping about, I think, fried chicken.
Hey, Justin Tucker, you just bought some Royal Farms world-famous chicken. What are you going to do now? Got some chicken in my hand, gonna eat it, understand? It's crispy, golden brown, moist and tender going down.
Royal Farms.
Royal what?
Royal Farms, world famous.
Chicken legs, chicken thighs, don't forget the western fries. Don't you wish you had some too?
Yes we do, Royal Farms.
Royal what?
Royal Farms, world famous.
Chicken that's real, real what?
Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
I think I'm on, I don't know, viewing 13 of that, and it still leaves me dumbfounded. I'm starting it again so I can fully describe to you what's going on here. The commercial starts with Tucker at the counter. He's handed a box of this delicious, famous Royal Farms fried chicken. He does a peculiar, like, because the question is, what are you going to do now? And what am I going to do now? And then everything drops away. And he's on a stage. There are strobe lights. Instead of a microphone, he's rapping into a chicken tender. He has three backup dancers who are holding sodas and bags of chips. They're the ones going, Royal what? Royal Farms. He's got his hair gelled back perfectly. He's doing the whitest guy dance moves ever. I can't get over this.
You know what this reminds me of? You know, when
me?
I was like, yeah.
Okay.
Or me doing karaoke. But I remember as a kid, you know, watching Nickelodeon and all that, and they had those cheesy child Reese's Puffs, you know, early 2000s commercials where you just see dancing, like the kids are eating the cereal and all
that. Right.
Beat them up.
Royal what?
Royal Farms.
And again, this is from, according to the YouTube video, this is 6 years old. Shame on all of us. How did we, in particular this show, live life for the last 6 years not knowing this was a thing?
This is his greatest accomplishment. The heck with the 66-yard field goal against Detroit.
I think you're right. I think I'm jealous of the Mid-Atlantic region. If you have a Royal Farms near you, I thought Wawa was the end-all, be-all, but maybe I'm missing out, and Royal Farms is the place to go. And as Justin Tucker might be the best kicker of our lifetimes, Wall's right. This is Justin Tucker. Actor, rapper, salesman, then he's a kicker. The Buffalo Bills, are they in trouble? That's next on the DA Show.